Welcome to Entrepreneur Eats, a conversation about business and community with a side of eats. My name is Deanna Smith, and I'm your host. Hello, everyone. I'm sitting across from our mayor, Dane White. I'm so happy that he's here. I'm so appreciative of your time, and I can't wait to talk about everything that's in your mind right now because it's the day after the election, and there's so much hope, and there's so much peace and calm and relief. Tell me about what is going on in your mind right now.
I think you summed it up perfect. last night I was with Christian Garcia, Judy Fitzgerald, and several other people at an election party. And it's interesting, for the hour before the results come out, you don't know how to feel because you don't know which way it's going to go. And for us, we're sitting there for, the results came out 15 minutes after they were supposed to. And we're just sitting there refreshing the page nonstop. And I had Judy's name and Christian's name pulled up. And as soon as I saw both of them over 60%, it was a huge sigh of relief. Joy and excitement all at the same time. And then everything with Measure I, just Escondido, yes. Really got a clean sweep. Ooh. And it makes me so excited and so optimistic for the future of this city. I've been putting off my State of the City address because I didn't know which message to give, whether or not, we were going to be doing all these amazing things or we were going to be making all kinds of considerable cuts. And it's just a totally different future and vision for the city. So now today it's like, I'm just thrilled, to be honest with you.
I agree. I have been walking on a cloud all morning and I've just been so relieved and so happy. And the optimism that I have now moving forward, thank you to the citizens of Escondido for voting yes on Measure I. It is going to be a game changer for our community in so many ways.
When you look at what's happening across the county, so City of San Diego historically votes yes on every tax that comes their way. Theirs is actually failing. Yes. Measure G, the countywide tax, is actually failing. Mm-hmm. Santee's tax is failing. So for Escondido to put that amount of trust in Judy and Christian and the entire council to spend, $30 million more of their money, I think is a pretty incredible thing. I think last night was a mandate. I have absolutely nothing against any of the other candidates who ran. But obviously, I like to think I was instrumental in appointing Christian to the city council. I have gotten to know him, several years before. We ran our school board campaigns together. I just knew the kind of person he was. And one of my favorite things about him in particular is he is not highly partisan. He just does a good job of making sure he listens to everybody and makes whatever the right decision is for the community and not his political party. And so to see him cross the finish line is just, that's my favorite part of this whole thing.
I agree. I've had those experiences with him as well.
I think Escondido got exactly what it deserved last night. And I'm thrilled. I think the council over the last, I've been on the council now for 2 years, and I think we've made pretty good progress on some things. And one thing in particular, okay, so like homelessness. The first question I asked when I got to City Hall was I want to see all the policy we currently have on homelessness. And the answer was none. We have never adopted a single policy on homelessness. So we started to go down that road with the first policy statement, the encampment regulations, the RV regulations. And it's kind of set the stage for whatever's next, but that's impossible without additional revenue. And so now for me, I was telling you before we started that I was just at City Hall talking to the city clerk, and he said that he mentioned to the city manager, I think the very first priority for the mayor is going to be homelessness, and in particular a homeless shelter. And so to have the tools now at my disposal to actually follow through with what I promised makes me feel pretty good.
And I'm sure it's a relief to hear. For all of us.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. One of my biggest fears, just in general with this position, is I made all kinds of statements and promises running, and you better follow through if you want to get elected for a second term. And although I've been working hard at it, sometimes that's not really possible if you just don't have the tools and the revenue at your disposal. So this changes everything. And so with homelessness in particular moving forward, the next step is going to be identifying city-owned property where a potential homeless shelter could be located, and then coming up with a plan to build one and eventually put out an RFP to find an operator.
Obviously, you've thought this through and you have an essential basic plan. So I can't wait to see what's happening and when it happens.
Let me ask you a question. If you could pick three things for the city to do with all of that additional revenue, what would you want to see?
Definitely homeless would be one of them. I would support our business community in any way, shape, or form. And the safety of our community would be, those are my top three.
The safety issue is a big one. I had all kinds of thoughts about government and the city of Escondido before coming into this. In general, I'm very skeptical of government. I think they spend too much of our money and all of the things that go along with that. But after spending 2 years in, you realize Escondido has done a pretty dang good job with the little that it has. And in particular with police and fire, they have an enormous lack of resources. And they still do a fantastic job of serving the community, but being able to fully fund those departments, public works, and all of that. And one of the biggest issues the city of Escondido has is that we just simply don't have enough staff. And so when you talk about the business community, whether it's processing business applications, businesses moving in, development, any of that kind of stuff, we just don't have the capacity to be processing permits in a reasonable amount of time. That's the one complaint I hear more and more and more. It's like on a weekly basis, somebody reaching out, my permit is stuck. It's been stuck for months. Can you please help me? And so now to have the means to address that is going to be a pretty substantial thing. My vision for the future today is much brighter than it was the last 2 years.
Oh, most definitely. I believe that if we can focus on those three things, and particularly business, if we can support businesses to thrive, you know, small business is the core of our foundation of the United States and probably the world. But focusing on Escondido, when we support our local businesses, we automatically, as a business owner, I can say this, we want to give back to our community. And so it's just a full circle of just helping each other.
I don't know how many people realize, so our general fund is something like $130 million. 70% of that comes from the sales tax revenue that's generated in the city. And that comes primarily from the, I want to say it's 8,000 small businesses we have operating in the city. And that's a pretty substantial chunk of change. I think so much of what everybody talks about is focused on downtown. And with the very limited resources, I think the city had done a good job previously putting together the Grand Avenue Vision Plan and all of that. But now being able to broaden that scope beyond just downtown, I think is going to benefit everybody.
Can't wait to see how it all plays out. And there have been lots of things that have led us up to this moment where it, you know, could have gone one way or the other. Thankfully, it went our way, and now we're just ready to hit the ground running.
It's going to be very interesting moving forward. Okay, so I was just talking to the city clerk. The money really starts to come in around June. We don't know how much, but it's not like we get a check for $30 million in June. The money starts to come in slowly and then gradually increases over the next couple of years. But with all that being said, so think about what's going on right now. We still have a, depending on the presentation you get, $8, $10, $12 million deficit. So that right there still needs to be plugged. We have the situation going on with the Center for the Arts, with the library, with the senior center. And those were all conversations I never wanted to get into in the first place. In particular with the senior center and Escondido's aging population, that just would never have been a conversation I wanted to enter. But you have all these things that need to be taken care of. So then on top of that, you have our employees are paid far less than most other cities in the county. So you've got to, I think the city council has a duty to negotiate in good faith for the next couple of years to bring people up to where we can attract the best people to come work for the city. And then we have to fill all the vacant positions, you know, just fully staffing our police department, fire department, all of that. There's only going to be so much left by the time we fulfill our basic responsibilities. But still, it's so much better than cutting a senior center, closing a library, closing a center for the arts. And again, those are just conversations I did not want to enter.
Of course.
So for me, it's a huge sigh of relief.
Oh, most definitely. So aside from homeless, what is the number two thing that you're going to tackle?
Okay. I have a couple of different things. I don't know if I can put it at number two yet. I think that this ag tech opportunity has the potential to change business, change our focus in the city, embrace our roots of who we used to be with farming and agriculture, but it puts us on the map globally, or has the potential to anyways. And part of that is going to be redeveloping some property over off Quince for the actual physical ag tech hub. And for me, that is right up there at the top. You're talking about jobs, opportunity, farming, just everything that goes along with agriculture technology right here based in Escondido, which there's only one other physical ag tech hub in the whole state, and it's in Northern California. So for me, that is very high on the list.
That's a great thing to be high on your list, because getting back to our roots, Escondido used to be citrus, and it used to be grapes, and so now we're coming back, and I'm so excited. So much for our future will be a benefit.
I think that tied with that, one of the complaints I hear most often is that there is not a lot of opportunities for young families to go just spend time out in the community. A lot of the parks are already going to be redeveloped, but I would love to see some new parks, additional ball fields, additional soccer fields, another skate park, splash pads, all those things that make a community. I would love to get to work on some of that.
That would be very exciting. And those things can be done without cost for our families to enjoy. Family time.
100%.
Yes, we need more of that.
I think the splash pad conversation's been happening for like a decade. And to see one now is actually in the process of getting done, but it's just not enough. You know, going back to what I said earlier, Escondido's done a fantastic job with the little bit that it has, but now's the time to be investing in all of that community-based type stuff.
Well, I'm excited about that. You know, I have a big family, and I'm so excited to just be able to take them to a park, and splash pad is going to be super fun. Tell me what's next. I mean, gosh, there's so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for. We've got the plans for the homeless, plans for our community. What about Dane? What's the plan for Dane?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't given that a lot of thought. Only because I'm so wrapped up in this job and raising my kids. I don't know. I don't know what's next. If I had it my way, I would run for re-election, win, and just do another 4 years. Beyond that, though, I just don't know. I love Escondido. I don't love California. And my family now, during COVID, my brother and one of my sisters moved to South Carolina. My dad bought a house out there and is still working here, but will be moving out there. And so as my family starts to migrate away, it's starting to make me realize that this might not be where I'm at long term. And so my wife and I have started talking about what we would like to do if I was to win a second term and what we would do after that. And I think farming plays a big role in that. I would love to have a ranch or a farm and be somewhere away from everybody and just live my life.
California is just such a hard struggle for families to stay here and work and thrive. It's just too much, the taxes and all of the expenses, and California sunshine is expensive. And it would be wonderful to figure out a way to have our community, because Escondido is just so unique compared to the rest of California. And I feel like if ag tech leads to something extraordinary to help our families make a decent wage and stay here and continue to expand our farm reach, or just little tiny farms everywhere. That would be amazing. I have a tiny farm and I love it, and it's an extraordinary peaceful time for me when I'm out just getting my hands in the dirt.
I think that's how we're supposed to be living. I think we're supposed to have a little bit more nature in our lives, more whole foods, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, sustainably sourced meats and all of that kind of stuff. And it's really hard to embrace that in this state with everything the way that it is. But beyond ag tech and going right along with that and what's next for the city, so January, February, sometime at the beginning of the year, so we have a housing subcommittee at City Hall, but I don't think they've ever met since I've been here. I don't even really know what their duties are. It's pretty clear, like with economic development, we focus on economic development. Homelessness, we focus on homelessness. What does the housing subcommittee do? And one of the conversations I'm having right now with the city manager, as we approach the new year and as we have more revenue, renewing the housing subcommittee, putting two council members on that, and focusing on what we want to see as far as business and development in the city of Escondido, maybe working out some of the kinks with the code that make it difficult to do business in the city of Escondido. But one of the things I would love to get started on is an update on the city's general plan, which hasn't been done, don't quote me, but I think decades.
That's too long.
No, when you're looking at a roadmap for a city that was written in the 1990s, when everything was focused on single-family homes and strip malls, it's so incredibly outdated to what we're trying to accomplish today that all it does is get in the way. But even that is a year-and-a-half-long process and cost $2 or $3 million, so we were never in a position to do it. And now we are. So that's one of the things I'm really looking forward to, and I'm hoping to get the community more involved in things like that.
Yeah, so many things have changed in the since the 90s of creating that plan. I mean, we're talking about driverless cars now, and we don't have very many malls, so many things have changed.
Can I one-up you on that?
Yes.
I'm on the transportation subcommittee at Sandag, and I'm not joking you, we got a presentation on parking structures for flying cars.
Wow, that is a reality. That's something we should be talking about.
Yeah, no, it was a serious presentation on this is where we're headed. At some point, we're going to have to make a consideration on where are we going to put these structures so people can park their flying cars. But when you look at Escondido, there's still so much land left, open space left, and then so many, like where we want to put the ag tech stuff. That whole area needs to be redeveloped. And so having a roadmap that tells us what we want the city to look like in another 30 years is going to be critical. One thing I really hope for moving forward is more community involvement with all of that, but more specifically with the additional revenue coming in. It always surprises me. So during the budget process, they have 3 to 5 budget workshops. We review it in the actual council meetings 2 or 3 times before it's adopted. And it always amazes me how there is 1 or 2 people present at those meetings. And then 6 months later, when you adopt it and something's implemented, inevitably I'll get a dozen emails saying, why did you do this? And how come we didn't know about it?
How will you get the community to engage in those things?
Yeah, that's a good question. When you look at the turnout of this revenue measure, I don't know, what was it at this morning? Do you know, percentage-wise?
I don't know. Yeah,
maybe. Somewhere around 60, I think.
Yeah, I want to say 60.
I think that there's enough interest in this particular one that people will show up, but my strategy is to get more and more people engaged on social media. One of the things I'd like to try out doing is live streaming some of those meetings, if I'm in them, some of the budget workshops and things like that. Because even if you can't show up, there needs to be an opportunity to watch it. And then, you know, you can send in your comments or questions or whatever after that. But I think social media is going to be the best tool for that.
It will be. And more podcasts like this.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
I wish people were more engaged in their local government, because the federal government, you don't really have access, direct access to your federal representatives. And even if you do, they're already going to do what they're going to do. At a local level, everything I do affects your day-to-day life. Every decision I make has a direct impact on you. And a lot of times, my decision is formed off of public opinion and just flat out what the community wants. And if I only hear one side of people saying, this is what I want, that's what it's going to be.
It's our job to help people get more engaged in these everything in our community.
When did you start caring about politics?
I never really cared about politics, but I always cared about my community. So, and I think that's exactly what you're talking about. There's a disconnect between our community and then our federal politics and politicians. So, I can't really say other than maybe 20 years ago when I had my first significant business on Grand Avenue. I've had lots of businesses along the way, but my first significant business 30 years ago was a marketing company. And we started paying all these taxes, and there was these fees, and we're like, well, why are they?
Where's all my money going?
No kidding. Why am I paying all this stuff? So then I started paying attention, and I started going to council meetings and things like that. So, yeah, when it affects you directly, then you kind of pick your head out of the sand and say, oh, wait a minute, what just happened? And how can I get involved? So the only way that you can make a difference is when you get involved. So let's get involved.
100%. I've noticed that more and more young people are getting involved in national politics and have opinions on things that sometimes I don't even know about. But on a local level, like I said, it's just so critical. And we're lucky here in Escondido. This is the fourth largest city in San Diego County. But I think it's pretty unique that you can call your mayor or your city councilman on their cell phone and they'll have a conversation with you. I don't know if you get that everywhere.
I don't think you do.
I hope more and more people take the opportunity to get involved. You don't have to sit through a full 3-hour council meeting, but you could go online. When you go online and watch a council meeting, it's already divided up by agenda items. So if you have a particular topic that interests you, you can get on the website and watch that one item for 10, 20, 30 minutes, whatever the case may be, and then submit comments through email or text message, whatever you want. But I would love to see more and more people get engaged here locally, especially now that the city is going to end up with $30 million more of your taxpayer dollars. You need to make sure that it goes to the right place.
That would be the one reason to get involved in your city right now, is to decide where your tax, that 1%, is going to go. And so where do we go? Do we go to Escondido.org?
Yes, Escondido.org.
Okay.
Brand new website. I think it's only been up for a couple of months.
Awesome.
It was wildly outdated before that. Much like everything else at City Hall, it was wildly outdated.
Okay. We'll send everybody to Escondido.org and we'll find lots of information.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty much anything you want to do on there. And another thing, you don't have to go to a city council meeting. Like there are so many other ways to get engaged. You can go to a traffic and safety commission meeting, a planning commission meeting. Every 5 years or so, we're supposed to be updating the plans that, much like the city has a general plan, there are park master plans. Those master plans get updated every 5 to 10 years. You can participate in those meetings. When things like the Grand Avenue Vision Project are being put together, you participate in that. Just find something you're interested in and jump in. My whole life revolves around what goes on at City Hall and then Lovely Leaps Dance and Classical Academies, and that's pretty much it. And then on Saturdays, I watch UFC, and that's my entire life.
That is an awesome life.
It is. It absolutely is. My kids keep me plenty busy.
Tell us a little bit more about your family, where you came from, and you know, if there's anybody out there who doesn't know you, what would you want them to know about you?
I've lived in Escondido, I say my entire life. It's virtually my entire life. My family moved here in the late 1800s, just shortly after the city was incorporated. I'm fifth generation, and I never imagined I'd actually leave at all. I grew up here. I love it here. My dad still lives here. My mom's not far. She's in Lake Elsinore. I had the best childhood in Escondido because it was still small enough that I could ride my bike from my dad's house off Sheridan and go to the candy store that was on the corner of El Norte and Center City, go ride my bike to the schools or whatever and have fun. So it was really, this was such a great place to grow up in. I absolutely loved it. Went to Light and Life Christian School growing up. Got into high school, went to Escondido High School. Got myself into some trouble my sophomore year, early on. I was suspended for stealing the principal's golf cart.
Oh gosh.
And then, funny story. Found out my mail key would turn on an EasyGo golf cart. So I took it to school, started the principal's golf cart, and just drove it around right before school started. Got suspended, and then later on...
It's funny, not funny, I'm sorry.
It is. Well, it gets better because when I got elected to the school board, that same principal was then the superintendent, so I became his boss.
Oh, no. How did that work out?
It was great. It was great. I don't think he really remembered, but that's all right.
Okay.
It's probably better that way.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah, and then ended up getting sent to a boarding school in a very, very small town in Stockton, Missouri. There's about 1,000 people total, and I think 250 of that is the boarding school. And I was there for 19 months, and it was one of the most miserable experiences of my entire life. You were either in school, and school was a 2x2 cubicle. You got packets, 12 packets for every subject for every grade. And the faster you did your packets, the faster you could get out of high school and get out of boarding school. So in a year and a half, I ended up doing basically my freshman year over again because I failed all my classes, my sophomore year, my junior year, and half my senior year. And if you're not in school, you're outside hauling rocks. And you're in a single file line. you pick up as many rocks as you can, walk about a quarter mile and drop them. And then you go back and get more. And that's what you do all day long.
Oh my gosh, that sounds hideous.
Oh, it was horrendous. You ever been to Missouri in the summertime?
Missouri? I have. It's not pretty.
It's horrid.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's horrid. And then in the wintertime, it's not any better. It's freezing. But that's what you do all day, every day, unless you end up on a work crew. Very difficult to get on a work crew. So this is on a couple dozen acre ranch. And all of the work there is done by the students and the people who live and work there. So if you get picked up on a work crew, for instance, we had to weld and paint like 100 bunk beds for the new dorm. Well, I got picked up on a work crew. So I got to weld and paint these beds for weeks and weeks and weeks. And when you're done with that, you go back to hauling rocks. And so occasionally you get a break. You can do painting or I was on a feed crew. We had bison, water buffalo, a camel, and you get to be on the feed crew. But other than that, it is just a miserable experience. You're not allowed to talk to anybody unless it's about school or religion. And even then, a staff member has to be monitoring your conversation. So after a year and a half, I got my first visit home to Escondido, met my family at Round Tables Pizza, and then we flew to Hawaii the next day. Spent a week in Hawaii.
That's very extreme, from going to this kind of school, Holland Rocks, to going to Paradise.
Yeah. Well, Paradise, yeah, that about sums it up. In fact, it was so good, I decided I didn't want to go back to the boarding school. So when we flew back home from Hawaii, I was supposed to get on a flight back to boarding school. And I went through security, waved goodbye to my family, and then ran away.
Wow.
And was gone for several months, long story short, but ended up in another small town in Utah. My grandpa ended up letting me live with him. I finished high school there. And didn't really get much better from there. That was when I started getting really wrapped up in drugs and alcohol, in and out of homelessness for several years, until I finally ended up back in Escondido. And there's a 7-Eleven on the corner of Ash and Washington now. But that used to be the North County Inland Regional Recovery Center. And I was mandated by a judge to go to rehab, and that was the closest one to me. So after, it's a 6-month program, but I actually did so well, they let me out in 5 months. And life kind of just took off for me from there. I ended up meeting the girl who is now my wife. I served a 2-year mission for the Mormon Church. I was gone for 2 years. During those 2 years, you're not allowed to call your friends and family. You can make a call on Mother's Day and Christmas to your parents. So my wife and I, my now wife and I, wrote handwritten letters once a week to each other for 2 years. And then within, I think, 8 days of coming home, we were engaged. And then 8 weeks later, we were married.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
What a great
She's
story.
She's awesome.
Yes, she is. She's very special.
She is a saint to put up with me and all of my craziness, that's for sure. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be here without her, because there were a half a dozen times during the campaign where I had quit, and I was dead serious. I quit. I wasn't getting any support. It was like around every turn, people were telling me, I would love to support you, but you're not going to win. And I heard that over and over and over, and plus all kinds of other things with the Republican Party. And I would get home and shut myself in the room and just tell her I quit. And inevitably, she'd come in hours later and say, like, you've come this far. You cannot quit. You have to keep going. And so if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have even made it here. And then, you know, you've met my wife, obviously, but for her to give birth to, you know, two wonderful, healthy kids with no complications, it's a miracle. Yeah, I owe everything I have to her.
And, of course, God.
Absolutely. That goes without saying.
What a wonderful story. You've gone through so much, and here you are, Mayor of Escondido. You should be very proud of yourself.
I am.
And a good example for a lot of people going through many struggles. Because people see people who are the mayor or the senator or a congress people or anybody elevated. They don't realize how hard it was to get to where you are. And what it takes daily.
One of my favorite compliments I get sometimes is when somebody finds that out and says, I never would have guessed. I think that says so much. One of the most disappointing parts of being mayor, though, and having this background is I I was really hoping there would be more of an opportunity to use my experience to help others, and I'm sure somewhere down the line that opportunity will come. It just hasn't happened yet. And I would like to see that come to fruition.
Well, I'm sure it is in your future, because that's an incredible story and it will inspire a lot of people, especially when they hear it and they're just at the lowest level of, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? Well, here's a great example of not giving up, and here's what you can do and here's what you could be.
I get told all the time that I am the exception, but I think people need to realize that I'm really not the exception. Like, I am a regular dude from Escondido with no college education. You just got to put your mind to something and go for it. And I wish more and more people would realize that. This world would be a better place for it. I think everybody has the potential to do great things.
There are many people in our history, several presidents who didn't go to college. So literally, you could be anything you want when you work hard and you focus and you surround yourself with amazing people. Because our community is known for surrounding yourself with amazing people and being able to have that support so that you can thrive. I'm a good example of it. You're a good example of it. It's our community. We have a very special community.
I've met some of the best people over the last 2 years. Yeah, I don't think people realize how generous the residents here are with their time or their money or whatever the case may be. It's almost every day somebody is saying, what can I do to help? And I love Escondido for that. That's one of its best qualities.
We're a real community. Well, thank you, Mayor White. It's been a great pleasure. I appreciate your time, and I loved hearing your story again and sharing it with everyone. So we'll talk soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll come back with a report on how we're going to spend your money.
Okay, deal.